Welcome once again to River of Life. We're so glad you're here this morning. And we're continuing our teaching on the kingdom of priests today, and this is the third part. So if you haven't heard part one and two, I encourage you to go on our website and listen to that. And once again, we acknowledge those that are listening on Facebook. Good morning to you, and God bless you. And we just thank God for every person that's here this morning. And so if this is your first time, just sit back and let the Spirit of the Lord speak to you. When I woke up this morning, the Lord said, I want my people to have the mind of the Spirit. And in Romans 8, 1 through 6, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. And he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And so this morning, I encourage you, set your mind to be the mind of the Spirit. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you activate us right now. Lord God, you wouldn't ask us to do anything that you're not going to give us the power and the strength and the ability to do. We know within our own selves we cannot do this, but Lord, activate the mind of the Spirit in everyone sitting here and all those who will listen to this message. Lord, we thank you for the mind of the Spirit. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of us, that you sent to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to do just a little review, and actually my outline is about 4 pages, and so we're not going to do 4 pages of the outline today, but we're going to teach until the Holy Spirit releases us. But God's original intent and purpose was to have a people for himself. You see, God loves you more than you realize. God wants a relationship with you more than you realize. We look at ourselves in the carnal, in the flesh, and we think, why in the world would God take time for me? But God loves you more than you can even imagine, and his original intent and purpose was to have a people for himself. And the children of Israel were delivered out of Egypt. God delivered them to bring them to himself. And we're going to take a look at this passage because this is a theme that started in the Old Testament and has continued into the New Testament. The Old Testament's the Old Covenant, the covenant under the law. The New Testament is the New Covenant, and it is a covenant with Jesus Christ. It's a blood covenant that we come into with him. So, and if you don't understand that, you can always contact us, and we'll talk about that a little bit more. So, Exodus 19, 4 through 6 says this. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. You see, God delivered them from the Egyptians to come to him. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. So God brought them to himself. He called them a special treasure to him. He identified them as a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And all of it was contingent upon If you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then these things will happen to you. Well, we know that the children of Israel decided not to keep the covenant, that they rebelled against God. And because they rebelled against God, they wandered in the wilderness. Bishop talks a lot about wilderness wanderings. They wandered because they didn't do what God had asked them to do. And so the Israelites had lost the right to enter into the promised land because they had refused to follow God. You see, God has so many promises for us if we follow him. 40 years of wandering in the wilderness brought Israel to stand upon a mountaintop overlooking the land of promise. And every Israelite over 20 years of age, when they left Egypt under Moses' leadership, was dead. They died out in the wilderness, never seeing the promise fulfilled, except for three people, Moses, Joshua, and Caleb. And so God's intent was to bring them out and bring them to himself and to bless them. And that's God's intent for each one of us. He has called us to come into relationship with him because he wants to bless us. So this original plan is repeated again in the New Testament. And it's in 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation. That word generation is also translated race. And so in my notes, if you ever see something in a bracket, you'll know that's because I inserted it there. Okay. So, chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And it goes on and said, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now we have obtained mercy. So we see the exact same original plan and intent that God had for people repeated in the new covenant. God desires to have a relationship with us. We've been redeemed so we could fellowship with him. You see, we're created in God's likeness. We're made in his image. And because we are created in his likeness and in his image, we can have a relationship with him. The animals are not created in his image and in his likeness. They don't have a relationship with God like people have a relationship with God. We're a special people. God created us in his own image. So we've been delivered, think about this, out of the hand of Satan. Your life would be very, very different today had Jesus Christ not delivered you out of the hand of Satan. Satan is a mean taskmaster. He is a mean taskmaster. He has come to steal, kill, and destroy people. We see him destroying people in the United States of America. We see all of the homeless people that are on drugs, and now they have these oases, these places where people can go and do drugs safely. And so now the drug dealers are meeting them at the places where they can go and do them safely so they can buy their drugs and have them checked right there before they do it. It is so chaotic. There is so much confusion in our culture. God wants to set you free from addiction. Jesus, help us and help this nation and those in leadership to turn around. We pray for a turnaround in their hearts, in their mindset. Jesus, help us. We're not going to keep going on that. But that is just an example of what is happening because Satan has a hand on people and he has a hand in leadership and he's leading so many of the leaders astray. And what they think is good is really evil. And what is good, they call evil. They don't want to hear about Jesus and his healing and saving power. They don't want to know about that. They just totally block that out like God can't do it. I'm telling you today, God is all powerful and God can do anything. And God is able to do far beyond what you would even ask or think. And sometimes I believe that the spirit of the world just gets on us to the point that we don't ask God to do the miraculous because we don't know for sure if he could do it. But he didn't say that we're supposed to ask only because he will do it. He said we're supposed to ask it because he's able to do it. All right, you're never going to know if God's going to do it if you don't ask him to do it. Doesn't the scripture say you have not because you ask not? And so ask the Lord. He wants us to ask him. There's nothing too little and there's nothing too big. God wants to fellowship with us. He wants to have a relationship with us. He wants us to grow in truth and understanding of who he is. And so we don't want to be a bunch of needy kids that are always asking for something. You ever have a friend that asks you for something all the time but never really spends time with you and doesn't contribute to the relationship? That is no relationship at all. So in our relationship with God, it's a two-way conversation. We spend time with him. How do we spend time with him? Well, in worship. And we spend time with him in the Word. And we spend time with him when we come together and we fellowship together like we're doing this morning. God is pleased with that. He brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light so we could proclaim his praises. And we could share with other people the power that he has to deliver them and heal them and set them free. 1 John 1:7, not in the PowerPoint, I don't think. It might be. Oh, it is. Okay. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So it is important that we stay in the light of God, so we can have fellowship one with another. The scripture asks the question in Amos, how can two walk together unless they agree? It takes agreement. Agreement with what the Word of God is asking of us and telling us. I was talking with several different people this week, but one thing I hear over and over again is, well, I believe, and then they'll go on and tell me what they believe. And my question is always, but is that what the Word of God says? Because some things that people are believing right now are so contrary to the Word of God. But they are determined that it is right and that is what they believe. And you know, the Lord just, over this last 6 weeks that I've been pretty much shut in with God because of my surgery, I just, there's such a boldness that's come on me that I'm not going to let them go on thinking that that's okay to believe that way. You know, a lot of times I'll just want to keep the peace and not approach them and push back because I'll wait for the opportunity when the door's open for me to do that. But you know what? Time is so short that I don't think we can keep waiting. When people start talking about what they believe and it's so contrary to the Word of God, that is the time you have to speak up, and you can say it nicely. And I've said it nicely, but is that what the Word of God says? I live by the Word of God. And the Word of God says about this. So if you want to believe that, that is your choice. But you're believing something that is contrary to the Word of God. So then that means you're believing a lie. Is that right? The scripture says they'd rather believe a lie and be damned. And you meet people like this that are so headstrong that they're not listening, but that doesn't mean you don't say it. Because with all the people I talked to this week, I just prayed over those seeds. Your words are seeds. They are seeds. God's word is a seed. And so if you're sharing God's word, his truth, it is a seed that's being planted into their heart and their mind. And God will begin to water that seed. And God will begin to bring it to their remembrance. That is God's responsibility. Our responsibility is to be a sower. We sow the word. We don't have anything else to sow. Our words are not ever powerful, ever living. But when you share the word of God, it is. It's quick and it's powerful. And it's able to cut between the soul and the spirit. So God has plans for each one of us because he loves us. He wants a relationship with us. He wants to fellowship with us. And we see in these scriptures that God identifies us as a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. And in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 through 6, it says, "To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Jesus Christ washed away our sins with his own blood. Never underestimate the power that's in the blood of Jesus. We plead the blood. We pray the blood. The blood of Jesus over us. The blood of Jesus over our minds. It is the blood of Jesus that washed away our sins and made us kings and priests. God made you a king and a priest. God made you that. That is your identity. Tell your neighbor, that's my identity. You know, if God calls you that, then that's what you are. And we need to believe that and get that done in our spirit. God has called us. He has set us apart. He has called us out of the darkness. He called us out of the world. Why? So we would be a separate people. The scripture says a peculiar people. What we believe and what we say and how we act is very peculiar to a large segment of the world today. God has put an identity on us. And so understanding that identity, and that's what we've been teaching on. What are the functions of a priest? What are the responsibilities of a priest? And we're going to go on. Jesus, the scripture says, is our high priest. Hebrews 5 through 6 says this, "So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but he, God, who said to him, but it was he, God, who said to him, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you.' As he also says in another place, 'You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek,' who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered." Jesus learned obedience through suffering, and we will learn obedience through suffering. Bishop says God looks at suffering very differently than we do. But it was through suffering that Jesus learned obedience. And that wasn't just the suffering on the cross. Remember, he was tempted in all the same ways we were. He experienced the same weaknesses that we experience, yet he did not sin. You know there was suffering. Hebrews 5, 9 through 10 says, "And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. The dull of hearing, if they became dull of hearing, means at one time they were hearing. But now they were dull concerning spiritual things. And if we're not careful, we can become dull in hearing. Last week, we taught on the priesthood of Melchizedek. And in Genesis, I'm just going to read this again. I don't think it's on the PowerPoint. But in Genesis 14, 18 to 20, says, then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. And he was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And Abraham gave him a tithe of all. And as we looked at this, we realized that Jesus Christ follows the pattern of the priesthood of Melchizedek. And Jesus Christ appeared to Abram in the Old Testament, and he served him bread and wine. And then Abram, at that time it was Abram, his name hadn't been changed yet, gave him tithe. He had just defeated his enemies. Melchizedek put a blessing on him, which is what priests do. Priests bless. And they serve communion. They serve the bread and the wine. And Jesus Christ is our pattern. Jesus Christ, when he had the Last Supper with his disciples, the first thing he did was break the bread and the wine and served his disciples. He was announcing that the priesthood of Melchizedek was being restored. It was the original priesthood. And there were other priesthoods that came through the Levitical priesthood with all the ceremonies and the sacrifices and all of that. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had come to earth, and he is Melchizedek. It was a theophany. He appeared to Abram in the Old Testament. And now we see him come through the volume of the book. Jesus Christ is in the volume of the book. You can find something of his coming in every book of the Bible. And that would be an interesting study to do and to go through and just watch Jesus Christ come through the volume of the book. And he was announcing to them that the Levitical priesthood was over and a new order was coming in. So a new order came in when Jesus Christ came into the earth. He offered himself, Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Our conscience needs to be cleansed from dead works. And it is cleansed by the blood of Jesus. If we leave out the blood of Jesus, or don't put an emphasis on the blood of Jesus, our conscience is not going to be cleansed. And when your conscience is not cleansed, then you continue to think about the things that you did. And you continue to think about the sins that you were in. But Jesus Christ washed us with his blood, washed away our sins, and he continues to cleanse our conscience with his blood. Thank you, Lord, for the blood. Thank you, Lord, for the blood. Conscience is, in the Greek, it means moral consciousness. Our consciences need to be cleansed, especially if you listen to too much or watch too much on TV, your conscience can become filthy. And we need a cleansing. There's nothing else that cleanses the conscience. There's nothing else that washes away sin except for the blood of Jesus and the Word of God. The Word of God washes us. You know that. That's why we're supposed to be in the Word, because it washes us. We may not understand all of that because, remember, it's with a spiritual mind that we do these things. We are priests, and priests offer spiritual sacrifices to the Lord. What we do is spiritual. What we do affects the eternal. What we do affects the spirit of a person that we're ministering to, are talking to. And that's my review. So we're going to go on and shift gears here, because what Bishop shared in his Word of the Lord 2023, just a short portion of it, I just want to share that with you as we go on. But Bishop, the title of his word is Believe and Be Ready for God's Best and Be Prepared for the World's Worst. So in 1988, Bishop started giving the Word of the Lord. So for 35 years, our bishop, Dr. Bill Hammond, has been giving the Word of the Lord. And he said some years they're good teachings, explanations, and other times they really portray the prophetic purpose of what God is doing, what God's time and God's purpose. And he really felt that this word was exactly that. He said 500 dates have been set when Jesus is coming. 500, think about that. But there's never been a time so relevant as the time we're living in right now. In the books of Acts and Hebrews, it talks of the last days. And most theologians believe the church, the birthing forth of the church, the day of Pentecost, was the beginning of the last days. And Bishop said he believes that we are not in the last months, weeks, or hours, but we're living in the last minute of the last hours of the last days. And that's the urgency in his heart. It's been the urgency in my heart. We don't have time just to mess around and serve God half-heartedly. There is a world that is lost, and it is our responsibility as the people of God, as priests of God, to go out and share the good news of Jesus Christ. We're not to keep it to ourselves. One of the scripture passages he shared was Matthew 24, 3 through 14, and none of this is on the PowerPoint. It says, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name saying, I am Christ, and will deceive many. Deception is the spirit of the end times. Lawlessness and deception. And it goes on and says, now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. You know, John said, let not your heart be troubled. So that's our responsibility. See to it that your heart isn't troubled when you hear about all these things coming to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. As I was reading through that, I remember, I haven't got all the notes teaching today, but Bishop said something that really stuck out to me. He said, make sure you're not offended. Make sure you're not offended. You can become offended when someone starts talking to you about someone else or talking about a situation that they're in and what they've gone through, that it can turn your heart away from what you're supposed to be doing and where you're supposed to be, and possibly even turn your heart away from that person. Bishop calls those weed seeds. But if you listen to someone's offense and take the bait, or if you are offended yourself by something someone does, then you've taken the bait of Satan. Don't take the bait. Bishop was adamant about, do not be offended. We cannot be offended in this time, because we know offenses will come. And offenses come from the enemy to uproot you and get you away from the people you're supposed to be connected to. You got to know the difference. You got to know the difference. When you are supposed to disconnect and when you are to stay, and it's the enemy that's just hammering at you to cut you away and to scatter you. We were talking on Bible study Wednesday night, and Gabe reminded all of us that Bishop says it's the banana that gets pulled away from the bunch of banana that gets eaten first. And so the enemy's whole plan is to uproot you, to disconnect you, so he can get you. We've got to be wise to the schemes of the devil. Is that not what the scripture says? Be wise to the wiles of the devil. But Bishop went on and said, the best way to determine a date is through the typology that we find in the Bible. And Bishop is a historian. He's a church historian. He's one of the only people that I know that has taught on the restoration of the church. His book, The Eternal Church, is amazing. We have a study of it, and it takes a while to get through it, and a lot of people will start it, and then they don't continue, but it would be worth the effort to go through the eternal church and understand God's original intent for the church and the stages of restoration and that God has brought to the church to bring it to the maturity that it is right now. There are people that were martyred for baptizing people. There were people martyred for talking about the blood of Jesus. There is more martyrs today than ever in our history. Christians are being killed because that spirit of lawlessness hates us. Hates anything to do with God, because God is a God of order. Many people say, well, we're not under the law anymore. We don't have to obey those laws. Anything that was not fulfilled in the Old Testament when Jesus Christ came into the earth, it all continues over into the New Testament. God didn't do away with the Ten Commandments. The law that Jesus Christ fulfilled was the sacrificial laws that the Levitical priests were doing. He was the sacrifice for our sins. The sacrificial laws and all of the rituals and the details and the rules that went with that, it took years to learn how to do all of that. That's why there were only specific people that were allowed to do it. And we talked about that last week. There were kings that tried to do sacrifices. At that time, kings and priests did not have the same authority that we have in the new covenant, and they were killed, or they got leprosy, or their kingdoms were taken away. God does not mess around. And don't become a casual Christian. God is not playing games. He is not messing around. When he says something, God means it. But anyway, back to what Bishop said. He said the best way to determine a date is through typology in the Bible. And he said this would help show how relevant the time is that we live in. And he said God changed the order of the human race every 2,000 years. And this is true. When Adam and Eve sinned, we don't know how long they were in the garden, But when they sinned, it was 2,000 years before Abraham came. And so Adam and Eve, they brought forth the human race. When Adam was called out by God to father the Hebrew and Israeli race, so it's from Adam and Eve to Abraham is 2,000 years. And then from Abraham to Jesus is another 2,000 years. So this is, Bishop says, a typology. Have you ever heard of types and shadows? They're all through the Old Testament. It's types and shadows of things that will come that we see in the New Testament. And so when Jesus came, the church was birthed, and we're the church race. We're one race. We have our own language. It's the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. We're the church race. And from the church race, that would have been, we'll take a look at the time, coming forward is the kingdom race. It is the third reformation, the coming forth of the kingdom of God. And I can feel in the spirit realm, it's like, okay, I don't know what she's talking about. I encourage you to get Bishop's book on the third and final church reformation. Reformations. He outlines in the book. He is an amazing historian. When he gets to preaching, he's got all these dates memorized and he just gets going. And I've never heard him preach that he doesn't lay out his timeline of how God restored the church. But we are in the kingdom, right? This is the time of the kingdom. Have you heard that? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in the heaven. We're kingdom people. We're to demonstrate the kingdom. We carry the kingdom of God on the inside of us. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy on the inside of us. And we function in this kingdom as priests and kings. You better know about the kingdom because that is the place that we operate. Thank you, Lord. So the difference between the church race and the kingdom race is this. The church race has eternal life in their spirit, but mortality in their bodies. And when the fullness of time comes and the kingdom race is birthed forth completely at the resurrection, the kingdom race will have eternal life in their spirit, but immortalized bodies. Does that make sense? Okay, right now, we're in the church race. We're functioning in the spirit. We're looking for the kingdom of God to be established. And the kingdom of God is in our midst. But when that complete shift takes place at the resurrection, the translation, he calls it the TR, the translation resurrection. When that takes place, then you know you'll have your immortalized body. In the moment of a twinkling of an eye, your body will be changed. And we are going to continue to work. We are going to continue to function in the kingdom. All that just doesn't end because we get a new body. Hallelujah. All of that doesn't end because Jesus comes. I believe it's just the beginning of what God has in store for us. Twice Bishop said, it's really going to happen, saints. It's really going to happen. Saints. And so then he broke down the timeline. That means if the 2,000 year process stays the same, that typology, if it stays the same, right now we're in 2023, and the church was birthed in 30 AD. So you add 30 AD to 2000, and it takes you to 2030. And that is less than 1% of time left out of the 2,000 years. Because the pattern that is in the scripture is every 2,000 years, God has changed the order of the human race. Is this making sense to you? So time is short and the day is near. And he went on and said once again, believe and be ready for God's best and be prepared for the world's worst. We've got to prepare for both. We've got to be prepared for both. He said it's a year of contrasts and conflicts. Be ready for positive power versus confusion and problems. Demonstrate the glory versus those who deny the glory and are ungodly. You see, the contrast is going to get greater and greater between the people of God and the people of Satan. Because the people of this world, they belong to Satan, right? There's two kingdoms, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. Our responsibility as priests is to help snatch those people out of the kingdom of darkness. We have an assignment, and then we're to disciple them. We are to be discipling. He said Cindy Jacobs and him established a group several years ago, and he's still on that prophet's round table. They call it a round table. But they came up with the saying, it's going to be bountiful blessings for the people of God versus troublesome turmoil. Be prepared and be ready. And then he shared the parable of the 10 virgins. And he said, with the 10 virgins, do you remember the story? Some of them didn't have enough oil in their lamp, so they had to leave to go get oil. Do you remember? Okay, so they left to go get oil. And because they left, because they were not prepared, because they weren't ready for his coming, they missed it. So he said, we can miss it if we're not careful. The world is going to get more wicked, and the church will get more glorious. And God is preparing us for what is already here. It's not coming, church. It is here. This is the time. It is right now. We see it before our very eyes. 2 Timothy 3, 12 and 13 says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Be ready for persecution is what he said. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. There are evil men. There are imposters out there of Christ that are deceiving people, deceiving them, and drawing them away. I just watched a news article about two young men that got connected with someone on the internet that was wanting to take everybody, take whoever would go with them to an island where they could be safe and they could just serve God and they would be safe from COVID and they wouldn't have to get a vaccine. And he brainwashed two people. I don't know how many other believed what he was sharing, but he almost acted like he was a Jesus Christ himself. But they connected with him. They took off. And you know what? Their families have never seen them again. They have no idea what happened to them. There are very evil people. But when the evil gets worse, the church is more glorious. And in Isaiah 60, I want to get ready to close. I just have a couple more scriptures. But Isaiah 60, 1, 2, 3 says, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings of the brightness of your rising. We're called to shine, church, in the midst of all of this. And that is why we've got to really keep focused on Jesus, keep the right heart attitude, encourage ourselves. And keep going. In Romans 11, 11 and 12, it says, and do this, knowing the time, that now it's high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. There's an armor of light that God has for us. Arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Now, once again, all of this is in the spirit. All of this, you receive this by faith with a spiritual mind. That God has an armor of light for me. And wherever I go, I am going to shine. And Bishop said, the same grace and faith that it takes to demonstrate God's glory is the same grace and faith needed to solve problems and to be an overcomer. Woo! And then he gave a few more verses, but we're not going to go into them right now. But he said, what we had in 2021, now listen to this, what we had in 2021 is kids' play. We have to be prepared for what is to come. This is our instructions from Bishop. Know the word of God and talk in tongues a lot. Know the word of God and talk in tongues a lot. God is pulling together the leaders and the people to fulfill the last move of God. Because there will be a last move of God. Because the gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the ends of the earth. And then the scripture says, then the end shall come. So God is on the move. And we're to be moving with him. Hallelujah. Moving with him. In him we live and we move and we have our being. The whole theme this morning has been about living for the Lord. Living for him. Giving our lives to him. If you haven't given your life to him, or you need to recommit your life to him, do that today. My mom always used to sing a song, and the title of that song was 99 and a half won't do. I'm striving for 100 because 99 and a half won't do. We've got to sell out to the Lord. Sell out. God, whatever it takes for my will to break, Lord, that's what I'm willing to do. Because God will begin to work in our hearts if we will surrender and ask him to have his way. And when he has his way, he shows us the way. Is that right? He'll show us the way. He's the way, the truth, the light. And if God is pulling on your heart this morning, just allow him to draw you in. Just to draw you close.